copyrighted program created by the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 102. All cars, watch closely the operation of Mayo's Cronin. Police detailing narcotics. That's all. Rosenquist.
This call goes out over the air to hundreds of radio patrol cars. It's often a matter of life and death. Police cars haven't a second to wait. When that throttle is thrust to the floor, the police car must leap instantly to top speed and tear to the street. Siren free. 1 second may mean a life saved. That's why the most efficient police departments of the West refuse to use ordinary gasolines in police cars and emergency engines. Tests have proved that gasolines made by ordinary refining processes can't start fast enough, can't develop enough speed and power. There's a reason why more police cars, fire engines, ambulances, and other emergency equipment use Rio Grande cracked gasoline than any other brand. And that reason is the exclusive patented refining process known as cracking. Rio Grande puts gasoline through the newly developed Sinclair cracking process to separate the slow burning from the fast firing element. What a difference it makes. In scores of tests before police officials, Rio Grande cracked gasoline has proved to be so much faster in starting, so much speedier, so much more powerful, that it has been awarded the contract to power all emergency cars operated by Los Angeles, Oakland, Berkeley, Marysville, San Diego County, Maricopa County, Arizona, and many other cities and counties. On tonight's program, you will hear a graphic demonstration of the efficiency of our police. Rio Grande cracked gasoline has contributed greatly to this efficiency. For more police and emergency cars use Rio Grande cracked gasoline exclusively, wherever it is sold, than any other brand. And they use exactly the same gasoline you get when you patronize your Rio Grande independent dealer. Try a tank full tomorrow. Now it is our pleasure to present Chief James D. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department.
Good evening, friends. You have often heard me refer to Los Angeles as the white spot of America's crime map. The phrase is mine, but the statistics which inspired it may be obtained by anyone interested in the work of this police department. During the era of lawlessness, now happily coming to a close, we enjoyed a minimum of large-scale crime as compared to other cities in this nation. This is not meant to imply, however, that we did not have our racketeers and so-called big shots. Many were the hoodlums who tried to muscle themselves into power, but as quickly as they began operations, we began breaking them down. It wasn't always easy. One of the most difficult men we had to break was a one-time petty pickpocket who muscled into the dope racket and made himself a big shot. His name makes no difference. He has paid his debt to society, so for the purpose of our story, we will call him Mayo Cronin.
It was in 1927. One day, Chief Davis summoned Detective Lieutenant Speaker into his office.
Good morning, Chief.
Come in, Speaker. Sit down. Speaker, you've had a lot of narcotic experience, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I was up north to the State Enforcement Bureau for several years.
Mm-hmm. You know who nailed Cronin is, Speaker?
Sure, everybody knows who he is. Big shot dope peddler. Fence. Got ambitions to be a West Coast Capone.
That's right. They're saying around town that I can't get it.
Well, he's a pretty slick customer. None of the boys have ever been able to hang anything on him yet. He lets the mules that work for him take the rap.
Yes, I know. He's the hardest sort of individual with whom to deal. But I don't think they're right when they say we can't get it. Do you?
No, sir.
I knew you'd agree with me. Very well, Figure. I'm going to make you captain of the combined robbery and narcotics squad. And I'm going to give you one big job. Get Cronin.
Yes, sir. It may take me a year, but I'll get him.
Slowly, the police spin their web. A dozen detectives, shadow a dozen dope peddlers, make arrest after arrest, but never can they put the finger on Nails Cronin. Then one day, as Detective Lieutenant Edwards, one of Sager's men, is entering police headquarters, a man approaches him.
Hi, Edwards.
Yes, what is it?
Cronin wants to talk to you.
What about?
I said I know. He's gone with that Samuel. He wants to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to him.
Be a smart guy, Edwards. It'll only take a minute. He's sitting right over there on his car.
Well, okay.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Nils.
It's been you since the day you tried to pinch me for possession of liquor. And you forget your face when you found that bottle in the back of my car was full of cleaning fluid.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah, and again, Jim Davis has put his bloodhounds in my trail again.
Yeah?
Don't tell me you don't know anything about it. You work for Sager, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't make much money, do you, Edwin?
I don't need to tell you what a copper's salary is.
Would you like an extra $200 a month?
For what?
Telling me what Sager's plans are.
No, thanks.
Being a little foolish, Edward.
Well, I'll arrest you for bribery, Cronin.
But you won't, guy. You haven't any witnesses. Two here, deaf, dumb, and blind, ain't you, Steve?
Sure.
Well, how about it, Edward?
I told you no. And you'd better move that car of yours. You're parked in the yellow. I can run you in for that, you know.
Oh, no, you can't. The loading zone. I just stopped to pick up my friend Stu here. So long.
Pardon?
So he offered you a bribe, huh? That's just fine.
What do you mean?
He's worried. We must be getting pretty close to him.
Sure, we're getting close to him, Captain. I'll tell you that Mr. and Mrs. Hard I've been feeling are cheap mules. I'm sure of it.
Well, it's worth a try. Have you booked that Mexican peddler you just brought in, Titwood?
No, he's still outside.
Okay, bring him in.
Right.
Come in, Pedro.
Pedro, we've got plenty on you to send you to the big house for a nice long stay.
Oh, please, Senor El Capitan, you're not too after Pedro. Pedro, one good citizen and taxpayer. Pedro, not a bad man.
Here's the 2 ounces of narcotics we found on you. You can't deny that.
Oh, no, but you see, this is the very first time I do anything like this. You let me go, huh? I never do it again.
I think maybe we can arrange something like that.
Oh, gracias, Senor El Capitan, gracias.
On one condition.
Si, senor.
If you do a little favor for us.
Oh, si, senor. Of course, anything I can do.
You know a man and his wife of the name of Howard? Mr. and Mrs. Sandy Howard?
Sandy Howard? Oh, si, I know him.
I want you to buy 3 ounces of morphine from them.
You want me to... I do not understand. Oh, it is a trap, huh? So you can arrest me all over again. I don't understand that. I'm arrested already.
No, I don't want to arrest you all over again, Pedro. I'm after bigger fish than you. I want to arrest Sandy Howard and his wife.
Yeah, I see. And for buying 3 ounces from them, you will let me go free?
I think we can arrange it, if you promise not to peddle any more junk.
Oh, see, see, I promise. Only words, Ole Gonzalez.
Well, we'll give you a chance. Now, here's what you do. You call Sandy Howard and make a date with him to make the buy. You'll have 2 officers hidden in the rumble seat of your car. After you've given Howard and his wife the marked money...
Where do I get the marked money?
Don't worry, we'll provide that. And after they've given you the morphine, you clap your hands together and say, now I can make myself a little dinero.
I clap my hands together like this and say, now I can make myself a little dinero.
That's right. And that'll be the signal for the two men in the rumble seat to make the arrest.
Oh, he's very simple.
I'm glad for it. It's really simple, my good friend.
Pedro makes a date to meet the Howards at Beaudry and First Street. Around the corner, Captain Fisher spots six police cars, a plain clothing at the wheel. Pedro, with two officers hidden in the rumble seat of his car, drives up to the corner. A moment later, Mr. and Mrs. Howard arrive in their car. Howard saunters over to Pedro, and to Fisher, watching from the opposite corner, there appears to be an argument.
Something's going on, Captain. Pedro's getting out of his car.
Yeah, do you suppose that Mexican's double-crossing us?
I don't know, but he's getting in the hard car. They're swinging around. Oh, will be gone.
What?
They're on the whole thing. As Mrs. Hart's giving us a bird. He's thumbing her nose at us.
Follow them. Don't let them get out of sight.
Okay, Captain.
Now, wait a minute. There's no use following them.
Why not?
They're wise. If we tail them, they'll just give us a runaround. Might as well go back to the corner and hope that Pedro's on the level and bring them back here somehow.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard. I did not know this wolf was on my tail, Senor Howard.
Yeah. Well, you won't get very far in this game if you don't wise up to things like that.
Sure. We never take a chance. They wouldn't have got a thing on us if they had stopped us.
Why? What do you mean? We didn't bring you more food?
Not with us. You think we're nuts?
Where do you take me, then?
Not that far. Down this next block here.
All right. Let's have the dough, Pedro.
Yeah, but where's the more cream?
It's stacked in that hedge. Hand us over the dough and go pick it up for yourself.
Well, okay. Well, it's a very fine deal.
It's a very safe business if you do it this way. Right there in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Pedro. We got the money, you got the junk. Call us up when you need some more.
Now, wait a minute, Senor Howard.
What's the matter?
You're not going to leave me away here on Sunset Boulevard, are you?
Sure, why not?
But my car is all the way over on Beaudry. I cannot walk so far. It's too hot.
We might as well take him back, Sanders.
Okay, hop in, Pedro. Alongside your own car. How's that for service?
Oh, bueno, gracias, senora. I'm very much pleased to have this stuff. Very much. Now I can make myself a little dinero.
Yeah, Pedro,
hey,
you want to
look, there's a couple of cops in that rumble. Please get going.
Hey, follow them. We can't move. Our feet and hands are asleep.
Okay,
fellas.
Want
to be able to get his tires now, Captain.
I'll try.
Almost. You hit the gas tank. There goes again. That did it. He won't go far in that flat. Force him over to the curb.
Okay, pull over.
What's the first, officer?
Plenty. You're under arrest for violation of the state poison act.
Yeah, you'll have a hard time proving that.
Not with that marked money Pedro gave you.
Oh, had the stoop to using a stool pigeon, huh, Topper?
Listen, I'll use anything to get nailed cronin, and the sooner you realize that, the easier your life will be for the next few years.
Jail are trapped Mr. and Mrs. Sandy Howard, while Captain Figure, striving to smoke out Neil Cronin, has the district attorney set their bail at $100,000 each. Buzzing are the efforts of Cronin's attorneys to lower the bail. Loud are the wailings of Mr. and Mrs. Howard, but silent rejoinder to pandemonium, they remain in jail. Finally, after a month in the Bastille, the Howards are separately interviewed. Of the two, Mrs. Howard seems the most pliable.
Well, Mrs. Howard, how about it? Ready to give us the lowdown on Neil Cronin?
Listen, Flatfoot. I ain't talking. I told you that 30 days ago. It still goes.
You still deny you're one of Mayo's Cronin's mules, huh?
I never heard of Mayo's Cronin, and the only mules I know anything about would be bed slippers to you.
It'd be sort of nice to slip into those mules of yours and wrap yourself in your filmiest negligee after a month in jail, wouldn't it, Mrs. Howard?
What are you driving at?
Just this. We know all about you and your husband. We know you're running dope for Mayo's Cronin. We know that Cronin's attendants have been trying to reduce your bail. That, my dear Mrs. Howard, is the reason we place it so high. Now, after a month in jail, you ought to realize that even if he is a big shot, Cronin can't raise $200,000 to spring you and your husband. Either he can't or he doesn't think you're worth it.
Oh, is that so? Well, you know that I'm just important.
Now, Mrs. Howard, don't let me forget that I think you're a lady.
What do you want?
Certainly not you and your husband. We want Nails Cronin, and you're going to help us get
you're
him.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
All right, I know that story, and I'm tired of it. I said you're going to help us get him.
Okay. For a price.
Which is?
Sandy's freedom.
All right, Mrs. Howard. We'll go further than that. We'll do our best to get the district attorney to drop charges against not only your husband, but yourself. If you'll play ball with us until we get Cronin.
It's a deal.
With one more stipulation.
What's that?
That neither you nor your husband go back to the narcotic wagon.
Okay. That's a deal, too.
And if you do, he'll fix you up with a nice long-term lease on a Marine View apartment at San Quentin.
So Captain Seeger and the district attorney arranged to reduce the bail on Mrs. Howard
so that Cronin's attorney can meet the figure.
Immediately upon her release, Mrs. Howard is taken to the detective's office.
Well, Captain, here I am. Practically a free woman again.
That's fine, Mrs. Howard.
Now what do I have to do to spring Sandy?
Well, let's see. We've got to make this sound legitimate. I'll tell you. You call Cronin and tell him you want to buy 100 ounces of morphine so you can raise the dough for Sandy's release.
Okay. Hand me the phone. You know, Cap, I never thought much of cops before I met you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Why, now I almost got myself believing you're human beings. Hello, Nails? Yeah, this is Birdie. Yeah, I just got out. And say, Nails, thanks a million for springing me. Gosh, I don't know what to say. Yeah, that told you ain't no boudoir. But say, how about Sandy? Oh, I know you ain't got $100,000, but I ain't got a husband either. Listen, here's the dope. I can unload a lot of stuff. My customers' tongues are hanging out. Yeah, say about 100 ounces. What? $4,000? Well, ain't that a little steep? Okay, I gotta get that guy of mine out of jail no matter what. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Nails. In an hour.
Well?
He fell for it. I'm to go to the top of Angel's Flight in an hour from now, get a cab there, and go to the corner of 4th and Alvarado. There'll be a car there waiting for me. It'll take me to him,
Only what?
He wants me to bring the cash with me. $4,000.
$4,000? You haven't got that much money available for purchases.
Well, that's the deal. Cash on the line.
Well, all right. I got a friend who can raise it. I'll sign my personal note for it.
Your personal note?
Sure. You don't know how anxious I am to get that bird.
With grave misgivings, Captain Seeger follows Mrs. Howard and took $4,000 in marked money from Angel's Flight to the corner of 4th and Alvarado, where Mrs. Howard transfers from the cab to a yellow coupe driven by a Negro chauffeur. It takes her to the corner of Highland Avenue and Sunset Boulevard, where she again changes cars. To enter the armored limousine of Mayor Cronin, which immediately starts up Highland for Mulholland Drive. Here, for fear of being detected by the wily Cronin, Seeger is forced to abandon the case and return to his office, where for the next several hours, he nail-bitingly awaits a telephone call from Mrs. Howard. Finally, it comes. Who's that, Susan?
This is Bertie Howard, Cap.
Where are you?
Down on the beach at the Tango Canyon.
What happened?
He had the stuff stashed down there in the canyon. I turned over the dope room and picked up the merchandise.
Are you alone?
Yeah, he left me. He's gone to his house on South.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Well, he's either there or at his service station on Beverly.
Okay, Bertie. We'll get on him right away. Want a car to pick you up?
No, thanks. I've still got bus there.
¶¶ figure leads one detachment of men to Cronin's house. Another detail of detectives speed to Cronin's gasoline station to watch out for him. At the house, Figure runs into an unforeseen difficulty. Hey, Joe, you and a couple of the boys beat around at the back of the house. Those dogs are better than a siren. Don't let anyone make a getaway.
Those hounds will
tear us to pieces. A couple of slugs over there. Hey, wait a minute.
Somebody's opening the door.
Quiet down these dogs and let us in.
Ain't nobody home.
You heard me. Quiet down these dogs.
Ain't nobody home.
Now listen, Curly. I like dogs, but I hate to have to keep such nice animals as these. But if you don't quiet them down, I'm going to let them have it. Officers of the law.
Where's
Nails?
Nails? What you talking about? We ain't got no nails.
You know what I mean. Nails. Nails Cronin.
You ain't at home.
Well, we're coming in.
I don't know whether I'll let you do that.
No? Well, you think about it while we look the joint over. Come on, boys. Knowing that he must present his case in court, Captain Seager, failing to find any evidence beyond a .45 caliber gun with the serial numbers filed off, has his men make careful serial drawings of the interior of the house. When this work is completed, a strange discovery is made.
Oh, Cap, look here.
What?
I've been making the measurements in the living room, and Bob's been making them in the dining room. But they don't jive with the outside measurements of the house.
What are you talking about?
Well, look, Cap, there's a 3-foot difference between the living room and the dining room.
Well, I'll be darned.
There don't seem to be any other place to make up the difference.
Might be a hidden closet.
But if the house is good, I don't see how it should be. Look, between the two rooms is a bookcase.
Well, let's see. This is a stucco wall. We'll see how solid it is. This is as hollow as your head, Bob. See if you can find an opening, some sort of secret panel, slide or something.
Yeah, like you, Philip Copenham stories, huh?
Yeah, sure. Real detective stuff. And here, you better bring in that axe from the car.
Right. Yeah. Perhaps this is all solid paneling and bookcases. Yeah.
No secret spring, huh?
No. There's a lot of funny books, though. Do somewhere on by somewhere traveling. Ever hear of that book, Cap?
Oh, sure. We better pass that one by.
And here's Don Blandon's poetry. Hey, I know that one, Cap.
Well, that guy can really write poetry. Mm.
You know, he's almost as good as Eddie Jeff. You know that one of his about the vagabond house?
Boy, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just like a mail order catalog.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't trust it.
Here's the rest, Cap.
Oh, fine. Now, smack it in that bookcase. Somewhere around Don Blandon, will you?
Sure.
That's fine. Throw it away. Give me my hand, Bob.
Okay. The same, though.
They ruined that book of poetry.
Well, let's forget literature for a minute.
Hey, look, for the love of Mike. Look at those 5 gallon cans of alcohol.
A sight for sore eyes. Now, at last, we've got something on Mr. Mills' story.
It must be 50 pounds in there. And look at the package of last
cutting. I don't care about that. If you can find my 4 grams.
Oh, that's a great box. And I know you are.
Boy, Mills, we sure can't. Open it up, quick.
There's a lot of dough in there.
Let's see it. Boy, what a relief.
What do you mean, Cap?
Here's my 4 grand, all marked and tucked away. This is all we need on Mr. Cronin, boys. The case is closed. What we want now is Mr. Cronin himself. Let's go.
That's cool.
To his service station. Leaving Cronin's house under guard of 2 detectives and placing the Negro maid under arrest, Seager and his men drive to Cronin's service station. Approaching the brilliantly lit corner, they drive up behind the police car, which has been detailed to search the place. Captain Seager talks with his men.
How about it, Chipwood?
He's in there. Been in there for an hour and a half. We've had our eye on him all the time.
Good. Come on.
How'd you make out at the house?
Well, we've got plenty on this boat now.
Yeah, there he is. Put him behind the desk in there.
Come on. Well, 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 if it ain't the law.
Well, I'm your left, Cronin.
You guys quit wasting my time and yours. You know you can't get anything on me.
We got plenty on you now, Cronin.
Well, what's the charge?
Violation of state poison act.
Why don't you get a new job?
We mean business, Cronin. We're taking you in.
Well, keep your bracelets in your pocket. I'll go along. I'll be out of half hour after I get to Central. Have a few, too. Call him out, so he's coming to meet you at Central.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of good that'll do, Cronin.
That's what you said.
Captain Seagull escorts the other than Cronin into the squad room at Central and presents him with the facts.
Now, Cronin, listen carefully.
And demand the mouthpiece. I won't say a word.
You don't have to. And we ain't letting you talk to your mouthpiece, our boys.
Now, this is unconstitutional.
Well, that's fine when you talk about constitutionality.
Well, it can't make me talk.
Now, listen, Cronin, will you be quiet for a minute? So far, you've done all the talking. Now, listen. Just this. No one's asking you to talk. We're just asking you to listen.
Well, I see. But I got a bedtime story, huh? Time don't pay. The policeman's your friend and all that bunk, huh?
You'd be a lot better off if you'd listened to him before. I'll pipe down and get this. You're through. We got enough on you to send you up for a neat little trip.
Yeah.
I haven't got any tricks up my sleeve. Now, here's the lowdown. You sold 100 ounces of morphine to Mrs. Howard today. She paid you with my money, money I marked myself. We just raided your house and recovered that money. And you know what we found when we found the money. 55-gallon cans of alcohol and $10,000 worth of narcotics. Well, how about it, Nails? Think your mouthpiece will do you any good now? That you can talk a jury out of that evidence?
Captain.
Yeah?
May I talk to you privately?
Sure. Come on into my office.
You'll pardon us,
won't you, boys? Sit down, Nails. Cigar?
Yeah. Thanks.
White?
Thanks, Captain.
Now, what's on your mind?
Let's go, Captain. You really got the goods on me?
Enough to give you a maximum sentence.
Sort of. Sort of.
Sort of.
Let's go, Captain. Here's a key. Two to my search deposit box. $50,000 in that box. And cash. Look, you take the key. Cut this up at 20 grand.
I can't let you go now.
I know it. But all I ask is this. You take 20 grand and forget some of the evidence you've got against me. No, I better take some kind of a lap. You can make it easy on me, Captain.
How do you know I won't take the whole 50 grand?
Because you're an honest man, Captain Sugar. Boys, Cronin just offered me a $20,000 bribe to go easy on him. Here's the key to his safe deposit box.
I guess that's what you're used, Cronin. Come on.
Hold him, Captain.
You're right, Cronin. I'm an honest man, and I'm not taking any bribes. That, my dear Cronin, is part of the job of being an honest man.
Captain,
Sugar.
Don't
let
me out, Captain.
Don't
let me get the guy. Come on,
take him to the cell, Sergeant.
What are you
going to
do? I'm
going to
freeze
him.
Give me the
cell. Well, boys, there goes the man they said Jim Davis couldn't get. There goes the big shot of the Los Angeles racket. There goes a big crybaby.
Yeah.
He reminds me of that guy in a gangster picture, Cap. He could fish it out, but he couldn't take it.
Captain Seagull piled against him. He welched again and pled guilty to selling morphine to Mrs. Howard. Judge Doran sentenced him to San Quentin for a maximum of 6 years. 5 years later, he was out, and 6 months after his release, he was picked up for picking his pocket at a picnic in Sycamore Grove. Nails Cronin, self-styled big shot,
had found his lover, her tooth cut his throat. We taught him that time that crime doesn't pay.
Thank you, Chief Davis.
Two detective mysteries that are broadcast over this program also appear in story form in the Calling All Cars News. You get this unique publication free of charge every month wherever Rio Grande cracks gasoline is sold. And in this month's issue of the news, you will find illustrations and descriptions of 9 free gifts, which make up the complete junior detective outfit for boys and girls. You can help your young friends get these junior police outfits, if you will, by just driving to a Rio Grande cracked gasoline pump next time you fill up. It costs you no more than ordinary gasoline. But when this super refined tetraethyl treated fuel reaches your car dealer, you'll get the thrill of faster starting, lightning acceleration, greater power, and police car performance. Welcome to Calling All Cars, Attention All Cars. Translation broadcast 102. Neil Tony, 9 subsidies. That's all. Rose and Tony. That was from visiting the midnight for the Rio Grande Oil Company.